Blog Talk Radio.
The Machine.
By you, Lord Father, Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, your name and your blood, amen.
Basically, it's a great morning, of course. And we're gonna go to this, the segment from yesterday, habits. Before we do go on there, Friday, well, not Friday, but Saturday, 10 a.m., we're gonna interview Luna Charles. Book called Men Are Not the Problem. She's a book writer. Basically, she's my big sister. She got a lot going on for herself, and the grace of God, God is, making everything move for her. So, the book, check out the book, menarenottheproblem.com. Website is pretty good. She got a little movie trailer that's going on there. So, the book is going for men or women. It doesn't matter, men or women. So check out the book. And I'm not the problem. We're going to interview her on Saturday, 10 a.m. on telephone. It's real good when you read a book that's about life. So we're going to go ahead and play Choice from yesterday, make it as part two.
Welcome to Life in the Word, where today Joyce will be teaching the second teaching out of the series called Mental Strongholds and Mindset. Today the title of the teaching is The Strongholds of Habit.
The title of the teaching tonight is The Stronghold of Habits. What is a habit? I looked it up in the dictionary. It says that a habit is a continual, often involuntary or unconscious inclination to perform an activity acquired through frequent repetition. What that means is you're doing something half the time without even knowing that you're doing it, simply because you've done it for so long that it has become such a part of you that you do it just sort of involuntarily. Now, that's okay if it's a good habit. If it's a good habit, that's great. I don't think about brushing my teeth, and I probably brush my teeth 3-4 times every day. I've just got a good habit of brushing my teeth. Well, it's fine, if you've got a good habit of doing something like that that's going to help you, or a good habit of exercising, or, just good habits. It's great if they're good habits, but if they're bad habits, then that's a problem. And, sometimes it gets kind of scary if we're doing things that are bad and we don't even know we're doing them. Do you know that I had such a problem in my life with harshness and rudeness that I could be rude to people and not even know I was being rude? You all look real innocent. I don't. I'll try something else and see what happens. A habit. A continual, often involuntary or unconscious inclination to perform an activity that has been acquired through frequent repetition. You have to watch what you do over and over and over and over and over and over and over. You know why? If what you're doing over and over and over isn't something good, it's still going to become part of you, even though it's something that's bad. We always say practice makes perfect. Well, be careful what you're practicing. I'll leave that there for a little bit. A habit is also defined as an established disposition of mind or character. In other words, it means that your mind has been established in a certain pattern, and so you think certain ways. How many of you know that when we talk about strongholds of the mind, really what we're talking about is how we can get into an area where we think certain ways every time a certain situation comes up, even though the way that we're thinking is against the Word of God and we know it. For example, our sister tonight shared that although she didn't want to be in fear, she hates fear, She's been prayed for fear that until recently, every time that she would get in a situation of need, the first thing that her mind would start doing is running in patterns of fear. Well, why is that? Because somewhere along the line, and possibly even before she ever started serving the Lord, probably before she started serving the Lord, she practiced being afraid so long that now she has no trouble at all being afraid. Not anything she has to try to do. Her mind just falls in that pattern. Sometimes we wear such deep grooves in our brain because we do the same thing over and over and over and over and over that now we don't have to try to do that thing anymore, but to get free from it, we have to try not to do it. I think I'll take my jacket off. I think I'm going to have to work hard tonight. You haven't seen what I got up here yet. Take a look at that. We're going to have us a lesson tonight. What is that thing anyway? Is that a wrench? For those listening by tape, it's a wrench. Now, the Bible says in Romans 8, not the scriptures that I ask you to turn to, but in another place in Romans 8, it says that we are either carnally minded or spiritually minded. And what that really means is that your mind or my mind flows in one of those two veins. Either we look at things from a spiritual perspective or we look at things from a natural perspective. Either we're carnal in our thinking or we're spiritual in our thinking. And the Bible says in Colossians 3, we're going to deal with this scripture in future weeks, but it says, set your minds and keep them set on things that are above. In other words, he's saying, set your mind in a spiritual direction and keep it set in that direction. And that's an instruction to me and to you. It does not say that God will do it for us. It says that we are to do that. Now, the Bible also teaches us that to be carnally minded brings death, and to be spiritually minded brings life. Now, let me just get that into real practical terms for you. If you are carnally minded, or I'm carnally minded, you know what it means? Now, look at me, because I want every person to hear me say this. If you are carnally minded, you are not going to be happy. Now, I want you to get that. Because there's a lot of unhappy folks in the kingdom, and they're blaming it on the devil, and they're blaming it on this, and they're blaming it on that, and they're blaming it on something else. It's everybody's fault around them. And a lot of it's caused just by the way they think. Just by the stuff they think on. People who worry and fret and are full of fear and full of judgment and suspicion and thinking about all these things that they don't have any business thinking about, things that are carnal, or just thinking about carnal things. Can I tell you something that'll make you so miserable that you can't hardly stand it? Thinking about yourself all the time. Now, did everybody hear me say that? Would you repeat that with me? Would you say, if I think about myself all the time, I will be miserable? Ooh, that sounded good. Now, I am telling you the truth, and I want you to get a hold of this tonight. If you didn't remember nothing except what I'm saying right now, and in the next 2 minutes, it'd be worth you being here tonight if you remembered it. If you have yourself on your mind all the time, you will be miserable. And if you will get other people on your mind and being a blessing to other people on your mind, and you will keep that on your mind, God says you're being spiritually minded, and that will bring you life. Hallelujah. I'm planning some special things for my family for Thanksgiving, some things that they don't know about. And I tell you, I've been having a good time with it, just in my thinking. And a couple of days this week, I've spent, you know, maybe half an hour one time, maybe 45 minutes another time, just thinking about what I'm going to do. And I am telling you the truth, and I am not exaggerating. When I would sit and think about that, I could feel life being poured forth to my soul from my inner man. You know what that life feels like, don't you? Some joy, some excitement, some spark on the inside. Some people just need something worthwhile to live for. Bible tells us so plainly that if we got ourselves on our mind all the time, that it is just going to drain the life right out of us. I tell you, church, get yourself off your mind. It's carnal. And I speak that to me as well as to you. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. Every time you catch yourself sitting around in the what about me syndrome, do I dare ask how many people have never seen my robot? Never mind, I don't have time to show him to you tonight anyway. Oh, how many people have never seen my robot? Oh, you got to be kidding. I thought everybody knew that robot. Do it, come on. Cheer me on, cheer me on. Well, you know, I was so selfish. I mean, I was so selfish. I had myself on my mind all the time. I just thought about me, poor me, what about me, when's somebody going to do something for me? And even when they did it, I wasn't pleased with the way they did it. What about me, you know, when, you know, on and on. And I'd lay in bed sometimes in the morning and just think about me, what Dave wasn't doing for me, what the kids weren't doing for me. And the Lord quickened to me one morning, just gave me a little lesson. He said, you know, Joyce, you all remind me. Now, remember, he said, you all, not just me. He said, you all remind me of this little robot that gets out of bed in the morning that's controlled by the enemy. It's like you've got this metal winder in your back, and he comes along and he winds you up real, real tight, gets you fixed for the whole day. And see, that's really what's happening when you're laying in bed in the morning, you're thinking all that junk. You know what's happening? You're getting wound up for the day. You better be careful what you lay in that bed and think. Oh, I used to hate that. It was like the devil would jump on my mind before I'd ever get my eyes open, telling me every disaster that was going to happen and all the people that ever hurt me. And man, I'd get into judgment and bitterness and resentment and hatred and judgment and pride and all that junk before I could ever even get out of bed and get on my feet. Anybody out there know what I'm talking about? Isn't it amazing that good thoughts don't just fall in your head when you first wake up in the morning? I mean, did you ever think about that? I mean, if there's any kind of problem going, you could have one problem and nine things that are going right, but just as sure as I'm standing here, when you first come to consciousness in the morning, before you ever open your eyes, the nine good things don't come to you. It's the one thing that's a problem that falls in your head. Isn't that amazing? Just amazing. Well, the devil's trying to wind you up for the day. Because I'm telling you what, the direction we set our mind in is the direction we're going to go. Well, he said, you remind me of that robot. The devil just winds you up. And he said, this is the way you look to me the rest of the day. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? Beep, beep. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? Amen. So anyway, the moral of that is you're not going to be happy if you have yourself on your mind, and I'm not going to be happy if I have myself on my mind. I tell you, no matter how bad we're hurting or somebody out there is hurting worse than we are, I'm telling you the truth, no matter what kind of problem you got, somebody in this place tonight's got a bigger problem than you do. And that is the truth. So a habit is an established disposition of mind or character. It's a way that we think, and we just think that way because we've thought that way forever, and half the time we don't even know we're thinking that way, but it's our thinking that gives us problems, because the Bible says, as a man thinks, so does he become. Now I'm going to show you tonight how thoughts really equal conception. That the same as when a baby is born, that's not the time that they were conceived. They were conceived 9 months before that. Well, when we have problems in our life, those problems don't just all of a sudden appear. They were conceived a while before that with certain types of thinking or certain types of speaking. We give birth to problems, or we give birth to blessings. We give birth to problems, or we give birth to blessings by thinking right or wrong and speaking right or wrong. The Bible says that we can declare the end from the beginning. Boy, that's a powerful thought. That we can declare the end from the beginning. I believe that's in Isaiah. Think about that. That means that I can stand here right now and I can speak some things and think some things over my future. And right now, in the beginning, I can establish what the end is going to be. I can't get outside of God's will, but we need to get our mouth and our thoughts in line with God's will. Now, also, a habit is defined as an addiction. And the only thing I'd like to say about addictions right now, and I'm probably going to say some more about it in a future teaching, is that addictions require fixes to keep you addicted. Now, we all understand that when we talk about chemical abuse, but I'm here to tell you that people can get addicted to having to have their own way. There was a time in my life when I was addicted to having to have my own way. And I mean, I literally would go into fits if I didn't get my way. Now, how are you ever going to get over that addiction? The same way that a person addicted to drugs or alcohol gets over that. You go through withdrawals. Do you know that you can go through withdrawals of emotional addictions the same as you can chemical dependencies? You know that sometimes if you're overly dependent on people and that has become a problem in your life, if God begins to try to remove some of that, you'll go through withdrawals. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to cooperate with the Lord and not keep running off somewhere and getting ourselves a fix. And I'm not talking here about even chemical addiction tonight. I'm talking about these things that war against our soul. Do you know that the only way that you'll ever get over judging people is to not buy into the temptation to do it, but to use your will to resist that temptation every single time until that thing no longer has a hold on you? You get out of it the same way you got into it. Isn't that simple? See, we think we've got all these monstrous problems. How are we going to get over this? How are we going to get over this? Little by little, the same way you got into it. Do you know when I started smoking when I was 9 years old, and I don't smoke now, thank God. He's delivered me. But I know there's some of you that do, and maybe this will help you. Do you know when I started smoking when I was 9 years old, I had to try to smoke. I mean, I had to work on it. I mean, I'd gag and cough and, you know, but man, everybody was smoking, and I wanted to smoke. I was determined to smoke. So I'd drag on that cigarette, suck that smoke down my throat. But you know what? The more I pressed in and the more determined I was to smoke, the more I got used to it. And pretty soon that thing that was gagging me and choking me, I loved. Now think about that. But then, years later as a Spirit-filled Christian, when I wanted to quit, it was one of the hardest things that I ever laid down in my whole life. I thought I would die. Now just think that over. Well, how did I get out of smoking? The same way I got into it. Only I suffered the other way. Look at me and let me tell you something. Do you know that the bondages that you're in, you suffered to get in them? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. They say that you can make or break a habit in 30 days. I don't know for sure, you know. I mean, I wouldn't make any laws about that, but I've read that or heard it somewhere. And I think that's probably true. I know when I quit smoking, I mean, I thought I was going to die. The first day I started, I thought I was going to die. The second day, I thought I was going to die. The third day, I thought I was going to die. The fourth day, I thought, well, maybe I won't die, but I feel like I'm going to die. The fifth day, I wasn't sure. Oh, I mean, I threw fits. I made it so many days, and Dave and I were at a picnic, and he made me mad. And you know when you get mad, you got to have a cigarette. Or a candy bar, or a fit, or whatever it is you're addicted to. You know, don't get mad at me because really, I don't think that cigarettes is any worse than all the rest of this mess, you know. I mean, I'm just using that because people can understand it. Some people run to the refrigerator when, you know, things don't go their way. Some people run to the cigarette. Some, you know, run to alcohol or drugs. Some just throw fits. Some just, you know, get it off into their emotional addictions, and they just throw tantrums. We got any tantrum throwers out there? Well, never mind. We'll pray for you at the end of the meeting and get you delivered. How's that? And I tell you, I remember that day I went out, I said, that's it, I'm smoking. Like I was really getting him back, you know. But that's the way we are. Now, isn't your flesh like that? When you're trying to break some kind of a habit or some kind of an addiction, and anything comes against you, it's like you think, that's it, I'll just do it all I want to. I'll just fix you and show you. Well, I wasn't hurting nobody but myself. Well, I ran to the store and I got me a pack of cigarettes and I went home. Left them all at the picnic and went home. And I went back in the back of my house and I got me one out and I was going to light up and start to puff away. And I mean, it was like, the voice of the Lord came unto me and I thought, if I smoke this cigarette, I'm probably going to be smoking the rest of my life. Because I'd had a hard time quitting. And I mean, it was like down to the wire for me. And I knew that I had a choice to go on, and I didn't realize at the time that what I was doing, but I can say to you tonight, really, see, what I would have done is I would have given myself one more fix, and my flesh would have calmed down for a while, but I'd have still had the problem. And really, when you've got a problem, when you've got a habit that you know is warring against your soul, the thing is making you miserable anyway. Isn't that true? It's making you miserable anyway. So why not go ahead and go through whatever misery that you have to go through to get totally free, because that misery is going to be temporary, and if you stay in the bondage, the misery you're in is permanent. I remember standing over the toilet, throwing them cigarettes in there.
I would like to thank everybody that's been listening. I would like to thank my family, everybody out there supporting me. Thank the Lord for everything. He's giving me strength because I'm still doing this, still, you know, doing the radio, internet radio. Even though, you know, I don't have that much listeners, but I don't care if there's one or two listeners that's listening to me or three. You know, as long as somebody's listening, and one person might get saved in the name of the Lord. Tomorrow we're going to go deep into details about, you know, one world religion and, you know, end times and the whole nine yards. I got to get deep into this, you know. You know, we're going to get real deep. So, you know, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for everything, for giving the strength, for having the listeners listen. I've been listening, let them get saved in your name, your blood, Lord Father. I pray to you. Amen. Please listen tomorrow, same time. God bless you.